From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Today, I am being joined by Ivan Butts, the Executive Vice President of the National Association of Postal Supervisors, who has taken a couple of weeks hiatus in order to visit the troops out in the field and recover from a highly successful legislative training seminar. How you doing, Ivan?
How you doing, Bob?
Well, before we start talking with Ivan about the legislative training seminar and the what we're going to do moving forward, I wanted to bring our NAPS members up to date on some news on Capitol Hill. This week, the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee in the Senate held a nomination confirmation hearing for two Postal Board of Governor nominees. They would be Ron Blum and Roman Martinez. They are both from out of the financial services industries. So if they were to be confirmed by the Senate, and the Senate confirmation on the floor has not as yet been scheduled, but when they do get confirmed, that would bring the Board of Governors over the threshold for having a working quorum on the Board of Governors. In addition, there is another pending nomination that was recently made by President Trump, and that was John Barger from California, who's another financial services professional who happens to be an attorney from the state of California. The president also nominated Calvin Tucker, who was nominated last Congress, but the Senate, although they provided a confirmation hearing for him last year, they have not as of yet scheduled a confirmation hearing for Calvin Tucker from the state of Pennsylvania. And additionally, the president nominated to the Postal Regulatory Commission, a seat that will become open later this year, and that nomination goes to Ann Fisher, who's currently an employee of the Postal Regulatory Commission and formerly worked for Senator Susan Collins from the state of Maine. Also this week, the House of Representatives Budget Committee approved a budget resolution to go to the floor, which does not include any budget hits against folks from the postal and federal community. That is sort of not consistent with what the Senate did. The Senate Budget Committee reported out a budget resolution that assigned $15 billion in cuts to the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee in the Senate, which would have to be reconciled, or that committee, the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, would have to figure out a way to implement these $15 billion in cuts. There are only a few ways in which to do it. Health and retirement benefits of our members are two of the prime targets. And lastly, the House Oversight and Reform Committee has tentatively scheduled a postal hearing for later this month, potentially the last week in the month of April, and we expect a bill to sort of emanate from that hearing sometime shortly after the committee has that oversight hearing. We are unclear as to yet who will be testifying at the hearing. We do understand it will be a rather short hearing. With that, I'm going to talk with Ivan right now about the recently concluded legislative training seminar, which brought together over 500 NAPS delegates to Washington to lobby their members of Congress. So, Ivan, you've been doing this for a number of years, and you've attended LTS prior to becoming executive vice president of the organization. So let me tell you, the 2019 LTS, how does it compare to previous LTSs?
Bob, I think it compares in this way. I think since I've become the executive vice president of NAPS, I tried to build on what we have done in prior years and try to do things better as we move along. I think that 2019 really shows the impact of that and the effects of that. The program was orchestrated and choreographed to provide some education to the new members and some of the old members coming up on the Hill. I think we've really kind of incorporated the role play technique, which is something a lot of people had asked for in the past. I think that crew did a great job with their role play. And you and Bruce did an excellent job presenting the materials that we were taking up to the Hill. So, again, I think it's really just the continued growth of not just my leadership, but the continued growth of our legislative footprint in Washington, D.C. And that's really based on the members who come up here to the LTS every year and do the work of preparing and going up on the Hill. You are the guys that are making this happen. You're making our footprint bigger and bigger up here in the district. So I thank you guys for that.
Yeah, what was interesting about the role playing this year is that it sort of demonstrated to all delegates what is how you appropriately lobby your member of Congress, and just as important, how you do not lobby your member of Congress, which was rather interesting and was entertaining and instructive.
Absolutely. Carl Walton and his group, they did an excellent job the past 2 years. And the California group, who did it the year prior to that, also did an outstanding job. I think we have to learn and grow as advocates when we go up on the Hill. But again, one thing that's been consistent, I think is consistent when we go back up on the Hill and talk about our members coming up, is that we hear from legislators and their aides on how professional we are, how pleasant we are. Again, and that's a reflection not just on the Postal Service, but certainly on NAPS leadership and postal leaders in general. So, I thank you guys for that.
What's interesting is that after our delegates go up to Capitol Hill, they provide us with lobbying reports, and all the lobbying reports, well, most of the lobbying reports were returned to headquarters. So if there are any of you delegates out there who are still holding on to those lobbying reports, they are very important for us to do follow-up. And one of the things we've done, and Ivan, we've talked about this, when our delegates go out and lobby their members of Congress back at home after the LTS, is that we use those lobbying reports as sort of the baseline for lobbying, and that we know what the members of Congress told us when our folks were here in Washington in early March, and what we can hold them accountable to as we move forward throughout the year 2019.
Absolutely. The forms that we give in the packets are critical. The lobbyist form that the state legislature chair hands out for you to kind of categorize how your congressional visit went, whether it's with the leader or with the aide, they're really critical for us to kind of gather that kind of data. And so we know, again, our initiatives are no longer just strictly up here, in D.C., we want to expand that out into the local area as much as possible. And having those forms lets us know what our foundation is and what things we need to initiate. Also important is the critique form of our LTS. That's how we evolve, and that's how we're going to continue to get better at doing this LTS year in and year out, is by making sure that we do the critique form and turn them in. And we do review them. And we do understand that, you know, some things we need to look at, and those things we're going to look at and try to continuously improve our LTS for the betterment of our members.
One of the highlights of the conference, well, actually, there were three highlights of the conference, and it was reflected on the survey forms that Ivan, myself, and our legislative counsel, Bruce Moyer, went through. And that is the speakers, outside speakers we invited to come here. The Postmaster General had held a question and answer period, which was highly successful. Additionally, we had the chairman of the House Committee, House Government Operations Subcommittee, Jerry Connolly from Virginia, came. And we had a last-minute entry, Jamie Raskin, who's also a member of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, came to be a stand-in for the majority whip, James Clyburn, and Jamie Raskin did a bang-up job. And I think what reflected is that one of the highlights for our members are hearing from members of Congress and the leadership of Postal Headquarters, at Postal Headquarters.
Yeah, that was great. It was really it was great to have Megan Brennan, our Postmaster General, come in and speak to the delegates. It's been a while. The last time she spoke at an LTS, or excuse me, this was her first LTS actually as Postmaster General speaking with us, and it was just good to have her. And she commented how she enjoyed the interaction that she had with the delegates at LTS, and felt very, very good about being there, and glad that she came to see everybody. Again, I thank you for your professionalism in addressing our Postmaster General. And for me, the highlight really was Representative Connolly. I been to a few events with him now, and he's very well spoken, and he always has a nice story for you at the end of at your meetings. But he was really what really kind of brought a smile to my face is how excited he was at the little token of that we gave him, which was the gavel in honor of his leadership role on the subcommittee. He really, really enjoyed that. That was kind of the highlight for me.
You know, Jerry Connolly did appreciate that token of our appreciation and our esteem of his leadership on our issues. In addition to his leadership on postal and federal employee issues, his introducing legislation to provide all EAS level employees, the right to appeal to the Merit Systems Protection Board, and how his legislation that's co-sponsored by Congressman David McKinley of West Virginia. So it's a bipartisan bill, Jerry Connolly being a Democrat, David McKinley being a Republican. And that legislation currently, I believe, has 24 co-sponsors. So it's growing. We understand that as postal legislation is introduced, that this will be included among the provisions in a major postal reform package.
Yeah, that's great, and that's key. H.R. 597, introduced by Mr. Connolly, is a tremendous bill. He's been our champion for this issue on MSPB rights for all EAS for a number of years now, and we greatly appreciate that. Had a chance to speak with the Vice President of Labor Relations, Mr. Doug Tolino in Puerto Rico, and just trying to assess where the Postal Service would be if and when we get this provision in a larger bill. We get the MSPB rights provision in that larger postal reform bill, most likely, where the post office would be. And he assured me that the post office would not object to MSPB rights for all EAS. So that was good to hear. But also, in talking about legislation, I guess, you know, I want to talk a little bit about where we are now. What are we doing now? We just came out of a successful LTS. We have started to do some things in the field. We had a group in Detroit that met with Brenda Lawrence at a local event. And that's always positive. Brenda Lawrence is one of our champions up there on our committee. We actually had a group out in Nevada that actually had a chance to speak with the speaker, our speaker, Representative Pelosi and Susie Lee, about postal issues. And that was a great event that we were able to contribute to. That's all what I like to say about us being on the constituency pyramid. That's all that kind of work that we need to continue to do out in the field locally. And coming up this month, in the next few weeks, we'll have that opportunity on April 15th to April 26th. Your representatives will all be back in their home districts, Senate and Congress. So that's the time we need to be maybe looking at the NAPS website, checking out the legislative section, checking out the bills we sponsored, see if your legislator is on there. or not on there, downloading our information from LTS, our talking points that you can use, make appointments with your legislators out there in their home districts while they're home for those 2 weeks, and go and thank them. Thank the ones who have supported our bills, and then encourage the ones who haven't to support our bills. And then also, don't forget to talk about the budget bill. And again, you know, we want to show our support for the House budget bill, which actually deals more fairly. And then we want to get some talking points in on the Senate bill, which really is unfairly penalizing federal employees again, when we have given close to $400 billion.
Yeah, over the years,
back into the budget, and we're just, you know, looking to cut more. We need to voice that to our Senate leadership too, that it's unfair, and it's time that somebody, you know, that they kind of stand up for the federal workforce.
Yeah, I want to come back to something that you and I spoke about maybe in 4 or 5 minutes ago, and that is when members of Congress and I guess people in the business industry look at effective corporate entities or effective federal agencies, they look at collaboration between the management and its frontline managers working together. What was important about the interaction between Megan, the Postmaster General, and our members was it demonstrated A, the respect, but B, the collaborative sort of interest that both parties had in working together. And that's important not only for operational issues that we are always concerned about, but also for legislative issues, that we have to be on the same page legislatively to pursue reform that's essential for the Postal Service to be not only sustainable, but to thrive in the future, and how we need to pivot and become innovative, and how I think the impression that I had, as well as was reflected on the survey forms, it was reflective that our members really, really want that type of collaboration with postal headquarters.
Yeah, I think, you know, we stand as EAS. I tell people from time to time, we're the leadership straw that stirs the drink. You know, we put all the ingredients in the drink, and then you have to put the straw in to stir it up to get it properly mixed. That's kind of what we are as EAS. I mean, we really are the leaders that run the day-to-day operations of this Postal Service. So it's only right that we want to be engaged at that level. And that's something I think we've strived for up here at NAPS headquarters, is to kind of engage postal leadership in that manner, that we're your partner. We're partners with you, not just in the leadership and the running of the day-to-day operations of the Postal Service, but also in the legislative efforts that that we want to take up to the Hill. I've worked closely with Ron Strowman over the years since I've been up here, meeting with him periodically just to talk about legislation and legislative issues. And I found it beneficial, not only that it helped me educate me more, but it also helped me to understand what the post office was looking for, and then to try to see if we could all work pulling towards the same effort.
Now, Ron Strowman is the Deputy Postmaster General of the Postal Service. And his portfolio includes the legislative and government relations issues affecting the Postal Service. Ivan, as you mentioned, the 2-week district work period that members of Congress will be sort of going back home and meeting with their constituents and participating in events back home, what specific issues should our members focus on when they interact with their members of Congress back home?
Well, you know, Bob, I'm glad you did ask that. You know, the things that we took to the LTS are viable things. We want to see the sustainability of the Postal Service as we move forward. We want to maintain the 6-day delivery. We certainly want to avoid what we've seen coming out of the OMB report and maybe kind of sort of glean to in the task force report, and that's privatization. We understand that the privatization hounds have been on our trail since the 70s, but now it just seems like it's a little more focus on it. So, you know, we definitely want to support a sustainable post office. We want to support a postal service that, as it was enacted by our Constitution, to continue to bind America through post roads, and achieve some the relief that it needs from the burden placed on it in the 2016 postal reform bill of the prefunding of retiree benefits. And then fixing that through amortizing that debt, and then doing some other financial things. So the postal reform issue is still our main issue. I know, you know, how we get there is what I believe the committee is working on, the Postal Service is working on, and we're looking at to see how we get there. But postal reform is still critical for the sustainability of the Postal Service moving forward. And we're still going to always continue to evaluate that and then look for, well, what, how we support it.
One of the things that we have to be sort of very, very vigilant about, and when we talk about privatization, and, you know, Ivan, you did point out the constitutional provision which authorizes Congress to establish post offices and post roads, not any other entity to do so. Within that respect, one of the things we have to be very, very vigilant, as I said, about is these efforts to sort of restrict the universal service obligation, because that is a code word for privatization, because anything not covered under universal service obligation actually could be open to private sector competitors of the Postal Service in the private sector. So we're going to be watching universal service. Also, we're going to be watching the ability of the Postal Service to innovate, because these same folks that are arguing for a constriction of the universal service obligation are sort of looking at opportunities to restrict the Postal Service to innovate, so it could not be sustainable. So it will just, its footprint would basically become less and less as a result of two items that don't look like privatization, but they are code words for privatization.
Absolutely. I think we talk about it with the sanctity of the mailbox, and you look at that within the president's task force about renting out the mailbox, and which would be a disastrous act to go forward with. So, yeah, we're going to continue to look at those things that, again, they may seem innocuous on the surface, but really, if they were enacted, they could really devastate the Postal Service and lead us in down that road to privatization. So, again, I appreciate, you know, all the buy-in that we're getting from membership to support us in our efforts, but, you know, we have to continue to look for that sustainable path, and we got to continue to look to protect the Postal Service. Unfortunately, you know, again, but this is nothing new. It's from the 70s. We've been fighting privatization and these likes since the 70s.
Well, you know, what we've been doing for the past 4 months now is we want members of Congress to vote the appropriate way on issues of concern to us, particularly with regard to the Postal Service and co-sponsor bills. If they don't do that, or if they sort of oppose the positions we take, the only way we have to make them accountable is our ballot, which will be in only 19 months from now. Now, for a lot of us, that seems like a long time. But members of Congress, including senators and House members who will be standing for election, all members of the House of Representatives will be up for election again in November 2020. One-third of the Senate will be up for election in November 2020. You know, we have to start focusing also on holding our members accountable. In part, that is SPAC, that is support SPAC, that's our Political Action Committee, which supports our friends and will support those candidates who are running against people who do not support our positions. So, Ivan, tell me a little bit about now, 19 months from the election, why is SPAC so important to support?
Well, Bob, look, whether it's 19 months or 2 weeks or a day, SPAC is the lifeblood of our association. This is how we engage leadership up here in the D.C. area is through our SPAC funds, using our SPAC funds wisely. Again, like as you said, on leaders that are pro-postal and are for the legislation or supporting legislation that helps the Postal Service and EAS within the Postal Service to continue to flourish and grow. And that's kind of been a driving point for me since I came up here to see some consistent growth in our SPAC contributions, and not only just the contributions, but on how we apply those contributions to members who are our champions or who are developing champions in the legislative world. And again, how we've kind of evolved that is that now we're branching out into the field. We're trying to do as many things locally as we can do up here. We continue to do the work up here, but when we augment that with some local events, getting some of the local people out in front of the legislators, it really enhances what we're doing overall for the process. And as far as the election, you know, being 19 months out, I look at elections now. My former president Lewis Atkins said, I don't vote Democrat, I don't vote Republican, I vote postal. So I'm looking for the legislators. I'm looking for the people who support me, who support our initiatives, who support what we are. And we are the United States Postal Service, and we are the managers who run the United States Postal Service. So that's the people we're looking for. That's the people we want to support us, and we want to kind of keep engaged with those folks. And I thank you guys for kind of letting us know, you guys who are letting us know what's going on out there in the field, like the Gary Rolls. And again, congratulations to Gary Roll for winning the Gold Standard and Legislative Leadership Award at this year's LTS. Gary does a great job in contacting us, letting us know what's happening in the field, and all you other people, all you other members who are letting us know when events are happening or when you're having meetings out in the field, the results of those meetings. We really appreciate it. And again, keep up the great work.
Okay, with that, that's about all the time we have for today. I want to wish everyone a great week, a productive week, and till next week.
I'm gonna send right down and right